I'll ask you to read, please, in John's Gospel and chapter 3. It's a privilege tonight to share in the meeting with my dear brother from Bonnie, Scotland, John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Now go back to chapter 1, please. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own, that his own people, received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, or the right, or the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now look over again, please, to Peter's first epistle, 1 Peter and chapter 1. Verse 18, For as much as ye know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25, But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, a final reading, John's first epistle, the first epistle of John, chapter 5, and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That will be our reading, and we know God will add his blessing. We have read tonight the most interesting conversation that has ever taken place in this world between the Lord Jesus and a religious man, a ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus by name. He came to Jesus by night. I've heard all sorts of explanations as to why he came at night. I've heard preachers say he was afraid of someone seeing him and other reasons, but I simply believe this, that he knew, based on the busyness of the Lord Jesus, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, he thought, if I go at nighttime, he's very liable to be there. He came to Jesus by night. But the most important thing is that he came. And we've been reminded of that. If you would come as a sinner, guilty and lost, and realizing that you need Christ to be in heaven, you could be saved in the meeting tonight. That's what the gospel is all about. Those that recognize their need and then heed the invitation, respond, and come and trust the Savior. I look back tonight, a long time ago, the 14th of March, 1938. I was a boy of 12 and a half. Now you know how old I am. But a burdened soul, one Monday morning after listening to a little Scotch preacher, Mr. David Craig, preach from Isaiah's prophecy every night of the week. I don't remember one of his messages, but I do remember that every night he gave out that lovely hymn, "Out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go." And in my soul, there was a longing to know the Savior. My father was a gospel preacher before I was born, before he was married and immigrated to Canada. But you know, I wasn't particularly interested in salvation. I loved soccer, football as you call it. Used to play all day Saturday, wouldn't even go home for lunch. I never got to the big leagues like my brother here. But in the heart of every young man in that part of the world, there's a desire to wear the jersey for that country. But you know, God spoke to me. And when these meetings were being conducted, a number were saved. And I remember thinking, here's an opportunity. It could be my last. If I miss salvation now, I may never, never be saved and sure of heaven. And so I began to think about it. And the more I thought about it, the more that longing was in my heart. I could say, oh, that I might find him. I had read the Bible. I had learned verses, chapters in Sunday school. The Word of God was read in our home twice every day. My father would get down on his knees, and I can hear him yet, "Oh God, save those two boys of mine. Don't let them go down to hell." And you know, that was like an arrow into my soul. Well, I remember those meetings ended. The last night of 6 weeks came, and I thought, there's no hope for me. One of my friends who had got saved talked me into going back in to talk to the preacher. And we sat down in a little Sunday school room on little infant chairs. And he opened his big Bible. And he went over verses that I knew so well. But it all seemed so dark. Why doesn't God save me? He knows I would love to be saved. But there was no answer. And after a time, like a wise man, he said, "We'll pray." And I walked home a mile or so. And I spent another sleepless night. In the morning, my mother came into the room. She said, "Eric, are you saved?" I said, "No, but I would love to be." And she lifted a little Bible from the dresser and opened it to Isaiah 53 and verse 5. She said, "Just read this verse and put your name in." I had read it hundreds of times. But I read it like this: "But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment of my peace was on him." And I didn't finish the verse. It just dawned on me, that's why the Savior died, for all my sins. And the burden was gone. You see, I'd been trying to believe. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and that's your problem. You've tried to believe, and you thought, "I'm not believing in the right way, and I'm going to believe now," and you would wait, but nothing happens. Well, I know all about that. I sometimes say, when I was saved without believing. There's no believing in that verse, but Christ is there. I preached with the late Oliver Smith in earlier days many, many times. And he murdered the English language at times, but he saw hundreds of people saved. He often would say, "Believing never died for anybody." But then he would say, "But Christ died." You see, it's not the believing. It's the person. And that Monday morning, I simply took God at his word. He was wounded and bruised for me. That was 1938. We were almost stranded there for World War II. The ship we come home on was the first passenger ship torpedoed by a German U-boat, and the war was on, and then the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor when I was a senior in high school, and the draft began. Every young man 18 years of age subject to enrollment. Well, I thought, I'm a Canadian. I was born in Nova Scotia. I'm exempt. But in those days, if you were 18 and you were warm, there were no excuse. And I spent 26 months in the U.S. Navy, World War II. But I want to tell you tonight, the God who is able to save, he is able to keep. I watched young men my age, 18, 19 years of age, fall morally on the weekends many, many nights. But I was so glad that the Savior had died for me. What a hope, what a comfort, what a consolation in the midst of sin and defilement to know that he died for me. Well, Nicodemus, he came to Jesus. You see, he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, undoubtedly. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the law of God. And he said to the Savior, "We know you're a teacher. You've come from God. There's no one can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And the Lord simply said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus doesn't understand. How can these things be? How can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? An absolute impossibility. And the Lord tells him, he needed a spiritual birth. You see, his first birth gave him life to breathe God's good air. But he needed a spiritual birth to breathe heaven's air. He had to be born from above. And he asked the question, and I want to try and answer tonight. He said, how can these things be? I don't understand it. Maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight, and this is the thought in your mind. How can these things be? I don't understand it. You know the Word of God. It's in your heart. You've memorized it. And yet you can't say you're saved. Well, friend, we read in chapter 1 of John these words. That being born again is not of blood. It doesn't run in the bloodline. It's not of the will of man, the will of the flesh, or the will of man. Because we would desire your salvation is no guarantee. But he says, it's of the will of God. You see, salvation is God's work. I don't have much time for preachers, anyone, that sits down with a troubled soul and says, well, do you believe that? Yes. Well, do you believe this? Yes. Well, if you do, you must be saved. That's not God's work. It's of the will of God. When a soul gets to the end of the rope and they realize, I'm going down. There's no hope for me. Like Paul in the book of the Acts when he says, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. That's where the sinner gets. I'm lost. And then God steps in. The will of God. And God turns the understanding away from self. Away from everything. And the individual is directed by faith to Christ. The will of God. We read in 1 Peter, being born again is by the word of God. You notice that? We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ. And then he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, of incorruptible, but by the Word of God. You see, it's this book that tells me that I'm going to heaven tonight. Not because I've been trying to preach the gospel for 55 years and more now. All of that goes for naught. It's what God says. By the Word of God, infallible, incorruptible, it will never, never pass away. His Word abideth forever. Do you know anything about it tonight? Can you say I've rested my all on what God says? That Christ died for the ungodly? That's me. That Christ died for our sins? That's me. Listen, friend. It's what God says. That's the answer to that question. How can these things be? Being born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5 something else that being born again is. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now there's volumes in that expression. Jesus, his humanity, the one who came from heaven, stepped from that throne eternal into the span of a virgin womb, and he took upon him humanity, never ceasing to be what he always was. He didn't replace his deity with humanity. Humanity was added to his deity. God manifest in flesh. They looked at him. They marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Never man spake like this man. Words of wisdom. Words that gave life and peace and joy to the individual. You remember that dear woman that came, just a sinner. She makes her way through the crowd. Ever see a woman at a rummage sale? Going through the stuff, trying to get up to it, pushing everybody out of the way. Well, that's what I think she was like. She was determined to touch the hem of his garment. And the moment she touched him, he knew virtue had gone out of him. And he turned to that dear woman, "Woman, thy sins be forgiven." Wonderful when the soul comes in vital contact with Christ. Through his word. Not a religious experience. Nothing that this world has to offer. Not baptism. Not religious experiences. Not any doctrine or creed. Not because you go to the gospel hall. It's what the Word of God says. Being born again by the will of God. Through the Word of God. And now he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that's the one who was here that went back up there. Perfect, sinless, undefiled. He did no sin, Peter tells us. In him was no sin, John says. Paul says, he knew no sin. Humanly perfect and perfectly human, made lower than angels to die in our stead. Do you know him tonight? What does he mean to you? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. There's a man that was here a few years ago at this meeting. He's not here tonight, so I can relate this. At the end of the meeting, I gave out a hymn that we're going to sing again tonight, written by Charlotte Elliott, a young woman at a banquet. Someone said to her, "Are you saved? Are you a Christian?" And she was offended and left. And then she came back again and asked him what he was talking about. And he told her of her need of salvation. And she became burdened about her sin as a young woman. And God saved her. And then about the year 1825, Charlotte Elliott penned those lovely words, "Just as I am, without one plea." When I was a boy in Ireland, the first summer we were there, we lived with my grandparents in the city of Belfast. I went to the Sunday school, Ebenezer Gospel Hall. There were two sessions on a Sunday afternoon, about 200, 250 children in each session. One Sunday, a teacher said to her class of girls, "I want you to learn this hymn and come back next Sunday, and if you know it, you'll get a prize." Though this little girl went home and her daddy was lying in bed smoking a cigarette, reading the Sunday paper, she says, "Daddy, I want you to help me learn this so we can get a prize." Now she said, "Say it after me." And she said, "Just as I am, without one plea." And her father said, "Just as I am, without one plea." And then she said the next line. "Not only just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." And he said that. "And that thou bidst me come to thee." And he repeated those words. And then she said, "O Lamb of God, I come." But he wouldn't say it. "Now come on, Daddy," she says. "We've got to get the prize." And she went over it two or three more times. And finally, when she got to the end of that verse, O Lamb of God, I come. The big man broke. The tears coursed down his cheek. He said, O Lamb of God, I come. God saved him. Oh, Daddy, she says, we'll get the prize. We'll get the prize. Friend, if you would simply come tonight, if you're not saved with all your sin, we've heard that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord help you to trust him tonight, and you'll be saved. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the kind attention given to the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for all in the gathering who can go back to a moment when, as a poor, lost, guilty sinner,